Amen. It's good to see everybody out for the home group meeting tonight. Amen. May 14th, I think it is. And we're going to go ahead and look at Wilderness Truths, Modern Times, number 64. But before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and kind of recap a little bit and kind of look at some things that we looked at last month. And so that way we can get our heart and our spirit moving in the same direction, and then we'll be able to build on that. Amen. The five or six points that I would like to just quickly share from last month, and then we'll get into what we have. Amen. That first point is we entered into the wilderness of Zen, and we see that the wilderness of Zen is a place of crisis. It's a place of crisis because God brought them. And before they went into the wilderness of Zen, they were in a place which was called Kinnamoth, the wilderness of Kinnamoth. And the place of Kinnamoth, God wanted them to go left. They're out on the edge of this giant wilderness, and to get to the promised land, the children of Israel had to turn and go to the left. But they didn't. They went right. They went further away from the promised land. And so now they are in, since they went further away from the land of promise, they are in a place of crisis. And that's what the wilderness of Zen, not sin, S-I-N, but Zen, Z-I-N, which is a place of crisis. Amen. Second point, it is a very critical place where we either go forward or begin to regress away from God. When we enter that wilderness of Zen, when we are in that place spiritually, there's a place where either we go forward or we begin to regress. In all of our lives, we will come into an area, a place in our life, a situation in our life, either we will go forward or we will regress. And that will happen all throughout our life. We will come to places in our life to where we will either go forward with God in victory or we will regress away from God into sin. Amen. And it is a crisis of our will. Amen. These places that we come to like this, the crisis is not the crisis per se, because God always can make a way. Amen. In Corinthians it says that God will make a way, always make a way, you know, in situations where we think we're going to be defeated. And we're always looking at the situations where we should not be looking at the situations, we should be looking at for the way of escape. Amen. But in these crises, in the crisis of our will we instead of, is the crisis of our will instead, or will we do what God wants us to do, or will we do what we want to do? Amen. In every crisis in our life, every situation that we call bad in our life, it's always a crisis of our will. Will we do what God wants us to do to move through that crisis, or do we want to do what we want to do and get stuck in that crisis? Amen. The fourth point, a very, very important point, is our decision, moving or not moving with God's will and plan, to go forward or regress will depend upon who, not what we know and understand. Amen. Mm-hmm. So our decision to go with God or not go with God, to go forward or to regret, amen, depends on who we know, not what we know. Because if we know God, then there will be no crisis, amen? Even though the situations will be bad, but if we know God, then we know that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We can go through anything. I always say, as long as I have God in my life, I can tackle anything in this world. As long as I have God in my life, I can tackle anything in this world. Amen? So our decision to go forward or regress will depend on, do we know God or not? Amen? Do we know God or not? The fifth point, if we respond out of God's will in our troubles when we're in that crisis, it will lead us more and more out of the way and will lead us to only frustration and heartache. Amen? So God brings us to this situation, as God brought the children of Israel to the wilderness of Zin. They brought them and said, okay, I want you guys to go left, but they went right. And they went right, and so they went further out of God's will. Now they were in a crisis. And what they received by not listening to God was frustration, more heartaches, and so forth and so on. So if we do not respond to what God wants us to do, and we stay in His will, our reward for that will just be frustration and heartache. Amen? That's not what God wants. And the last point, there were three words and three elements that we looked at. Three elements. Knowing, believing, and desiring. And we're going to talk about a little bit about desiring tonight also. We become molded to what we desire. Let me say that again. We become molded to what we desire. Amen? God's call, deep calls us deep, wars against our flesh. There's a call that God has built within us. We are hardwired. This call goes out to Him. It's in us, and we have this desire to call out to God. Amen? And that call going out will war, will fight against our flesh. And we decide, and we either gain or lose, we either progress or regret in God, depending upon us answering that desire and that call. Because make no mistake, we will become what we want to become. Amen? Amen. Not too many people become, that don't study and apply themselves and work hard and stuff. Just become, what they want to become. If you want to become a preacher, you got to go to school, right? If you want to do this or that, you will become what you want to become, amen? And so we become molded to what we desire, amen? So those were six quick points that we looked at last month. We'll kind of get up back in the sand or the wilderness of Zen. Mark 10:21, out of the text, and we're going to go ahead and jump in there. And we're going to look at Mark 10:21, amen? Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lack. Amen? Can you imagine being with Jesus and have him say, and he looked at him and he says, one thing you lack. Now, up to that time, the rich young ruler here thought he lacked nothing. He thought he did everything. He said that he kept all the commandments from a child. He did all of these things. He sang in the choir. He played the instrument. He gave his money to the church. He does all of those things. But Jesus says, wait a minute. There's not one thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Now notice there was a bunch of requirements right there that the rich young ruler had to do to inherit what God had for him. And we'll look at the end of this, that inheriting in God comes not out of our salvation. Let me say this again. Inheriting in God, inherited those things that God had for us, comes not out of our salvation experience, but out of our working and being obedient to God. Doing those things, what God wants us to do. Completing those requirements and the things that God wants us to do will enable us to inherit. And we'll look at a verse at the end a little later. Amen? Yeah. For better or for worse. So either we can progress or we can regress. That's up to us. That's not up to God. It's not up to the devil. It's not up to your friends or whatever. Whether we go forward in God or we go back in God, it's up to us. Are we willing to do those things that God wants us to do to go forward with Him? If not, then we automatically will regress. Amen? Yeah. Because the wilderness of Zen is a critical point, it can be a turning point for better or for worse. So when the children of Israel, when they went to the wilderness of Zen, this was the point. It was a critical point, and this was the place where they could either go left or keep further going right. Amen? They could get better or they could get worse. Thus, it can be a point of a new beginning. Amen? In every situation in our life, this is always an opportunity for a new beginning. Isn't that amazing? I was in the Navy for 24 years. And it was kind of neat because every time I got orders, I picked up my family and all of our household goods, and we went to a new place, and I was at a new command, and no one really knew me, and it was like a fresh start. I could start all over. If I had a terrible time at that last command, well, I'm at a new command now, And now it's a new beginning. Amen. There is, you know, this can be a point of a new beginning in every situation in our life. And this is the place from which God calls the children of Israel to go up and to possess the land. So here in the wilderness of Zin is where God tells Moses and the children of Israel, now I want you to go left. I want you to get out of the wilderness of Zin and go left. And now it's time to go up and take the promised land, not the promised land, but the promised land, the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? Now, and the wilderness of Zin is where God tells Moses to do that. Amen? The rich young ruler, though, did not want to follow Jesus. You know that? There's all these requirements that the rich young ruler had, and he thought he did them all, but he did not want to follow Jesus. He did not want to commit himself. He didn't want to dedicate himself to do all those things. Amen? Sell what he has, take up his cross, and do all of those things. He didn't want to do that. So, too, in our lives. God will ask us to do something, we'll go, I want you to do this, and to do this, you got to do this, and this. Oh, no, I want to do that, but I don't want to do all of those things. And so, only when we do those things can we progress in God. Amen? We sin by not doing what He wants us to do. Amen? Because the desire to is already in our heart. Amen? The desire in the rich young ruler was not to follow Jesus. And so since that desire was already in his heart, there was no way that he could follow Jesus. He had to lose that desire in his life for him to follow Jesus. And the same thing in our sin. You know, a lot of times online you see people that are taken advantage of, especially the elderly, you know, with this scam and that scam. Unfortunately, the scam gets to people not because the scammers are smart or anything like that, but the scammer gets to people because there's already greed in their heart. There's already some greed in there, and the scammers, you know, they play on the greed that's in the people's lives, and then bang, you know, they're taken advantage of. Amen? The same thing in the Lord. God wants us to do certain things so that we can walk with Him, as God wanted the rich young ruler to walk with Him, but he did not have the desire in him to do that. Amen? But the choice of these people is going to determine whether they have a new beginning and a better life or deal in court on their worst life. And so, the choice itself becomes critical. Amen? It becomes critical. We too are these people. Our choices determine our usefulness, not our talents. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Our choices that we make in our life determine our usefulness in God, not our talents, not our abilities, because they're not ours. These talents and abilities is what God gives us, right? But it's our choice. Do we use these talents and abilities? Do we do the things that God wants us to do so that we can walk in His way? And it's our choice. And it's our choice, and it's critical in our life. Our choices make our life critical when we make these choices. Amen? Jesus said to the rich young ruler, sell all that you have and follow me. The rich young ruler is forced to make a decision. Wow. Will he or won't he follow? One way or the other, he will make a decision which will set his course for life, and then some. Just as one decision will carry unimaginable implications, come the rich young ruler and take Judas's throne. A lot of people believe that the rich young ruler was going to be groomed to be one of the original 12 apostles. He's religious, he was zealous, he loved the Lord, did all of these things, but he did not sell out. He could not make that decision because he did not have the desire in him. He had all these other desires, the desires of the world and making money and all of those things. Amen? Mm-hmm. But please notice right here, by not choosing God's will and His plan and arrangement, the rich young ruler chose not to be obedient. Now that's, can you let that sink in for a second? By not choosing God's will and plans and arrangements for our life, then we are choosing not to, not to be obedient. Now we're not thinking, I'm going to be obedient and I'm not going to do that. Now that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is because we have life or death, choose left or right before us. And left is God and right is not God. If we choose right, then we're not going to go left. And so because we do not choose what God wants us to do, we're automatically choosing to be disobedient. Wow. Judas, called by Jesus to be one of the 12 chosen disciples, desired money and so many material gains, his objective in this life. He made the greatest decision of his life, which cost him his life and his possibility, his eternal position. Amen. Now here's some advice. Please listen very, very closely. I have learned this. Do not hurry when making decisions in life. Amen. Do not hurry when making decisions in life. They are what our lives are made up with. Amen. Don't hurry. I got to make a decision. If you ever feel pressure to make a decision, never make a decision. Amen. That's not good. You need to make a decision after prayer and so forth and so on. And you need to be at ease and peace in your heart of that. So do not hurry when making a decision in life, because our lives are made up from the decisions what we make. What we choose, what we don't choose. You know, what we go for, what we don't go for. All of these decisions is what our life is made up. Now God has a plan for our life, but for us to walk in God's plan for our life, we must choose that. It's just not going to suddenly magically happen. We have to individually choose, make the right decisions for what God wants for our life. If we don't choose those decisions, then we're automatically going to be disobedient to what God has in our life. It was in the riches, the money, that caused him to turn away from the Lord. Or was it the love of earthly riches instead of the heavenly riches? You see, the rich young ruler here, God said, I will give you riches in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Wow. Well, the rich young ruler and Judas, they wanted the treasures of the earth. Amen? I'm really convinced that a lot of, especially the people you see on TV and ministering and stuff like that, you know, I really believe that they do not believe there are treasures in heaven for them. So they're going to try to get as much treasures on earth. And they will even twist the word of God to go ahead and get all that money. Amen. But if you are more concerned about treasures in heaven, then you won't worry about, you know, so much about your living situation and not having 3 cars and 5 TVs and all of this stuff. Amen. Your heart is bent on heaven, and you want to do the things that God wants you to do. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's true. It says all. Don't say some. It says all evil. Amen? Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now that word covet, you know, coveted is an interesting word, because even if you look at the Ten Commandments, you cannot break any of the Ten Commandments if you do not covet. You have to covet to break every one of the Ten Commandments. So if you do not have this heart of covetousness in you, you will not even break any of the Ten Commandments. Amen? And they have erred. E-R-R-E-D. It's not error. Error is to make a mistake. But err is really, really bad. It's worse. Erred there means to make a willful decision to lead somebody out of the way. In other words, this person is willfully deceiving somebody. They are in their heart, their mind, they're setting this plan up, and they are willfully desiring to deceive this person and take them out of the faith. And because of that, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Amen. They covet. They will willfully and intentionally lead people away from the truth. Thus, they may have money. Oh yeah, you may have money, but the reward will be with that money is they will pierce their souls and life with many, many sorrows. I would rather have peace of mind and peace of heart than money. Amen? Money can't buy happiness, I will tell you. Amen? And I would rather have the things of God. I would rather have peace of mind and heart and all of these things than have all of the money in the world. What was it that the Lord was doing in them to force them into making a choice? Was it the Lord not wanting them to have money? No. Did the Lord hate Judas and every king ruler? Of course not. It was their choice not to serve the Lord. And it's our choice too, to serve the Lord or not to serve the Lord. Isn't that amazing? It is our choice not to serve the Lord or to serve the Lord. Jesus gave them both the same invitation, follow me. They both made the wrong choice. The rich young ruler and Judas both made the wrong choice. Of course, we know Judas went out and hung himself, and the rich young ruler, that was the last time anybody heard of the rich young ruler, because he couldn't sell out. Amen? If we don't sell out to God, then God can't use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. Amen? To be used of God, we must sell out. We must give our desires and our lives and our plans and our dreams and all of those things that we think that are important more than what God wants. We must give all of those to God and then let God break us and mold us and use us for His glory. Amen? Yeah. If we make the wrong choices, we too will end up like them. We cannot afford to lose our life and our soul. We cannot afford to make wrong choices. We must make the right choices. Amen? Yeah. He calls us to follow me. And where are we going? We are going to one place. We're not going to a place of glory. We're not going to a place of wealth and poverty or, greatness or whatever. We're following Him to one place, and that is the cross. We're following Him to the cross, and there we too will die. But if we die, we shall live with Him. Amen?
Yeah.
He has a cross waiting for each one of us. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Amen? That is the place where Christians are made, at the cross. Amen? Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus met this same person who crossed the lives of the rich young ruler and Judas, and of course was Saul and later became Paul. Acts 9:6 says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Amen? Mm-hmm. So Judas and the rich young ruler and Saul, who later became Paul, all met the Lord. But Paul, had the right heart condition. And he knew that he had to make the right choice. The choice resulted in a monumental implication, not only in the life of Saul himself, later known as the great Apostle Paul, but in the whole church and the whole body of Christ. Now think about that for a second. Saul's decision to follow the Lord, to do what the Lord wanted him to do, not only saved his life and made him usable for service, but we are standing here today as Gentiles. Amen. Because Saul, Paul later, went to the Gentiles. Amen. We were grafted in, And if upon us, Jesus could have had, if Saul didn't want to do that, he could have had someone else do it, but Saul did it. Amen. And because of that, we are having this homebrew meeting right here, and now we are part of the whole body of Christ. Saul's decision to follow the Lord had a great implication, and even in our life today. That was just one decision, amen? And look what that one decision has made. One person's act of obedience can change a nation. One person's act of obedience can change a nation. How important are our decisions today? Oh, it's just a little decision. One little decision can change the course of a nation. So how important are our decisions? Our little choices that we make, the little things, they are critical in our life. And we need to take heed when we make choices and when we make decisions. Just how important are our decisions today? Now that is the thought to ponder tonight, you know? How important are our decisions today? God doesn't say to us now, watch out, David, this is your critical time. This is critical. How often is the right decision missed? We are to be ready at all times to give the Lord the answer, the response, the decision which He seeks. Always give God what He wants, right? Amen? Always give God what He wants. That way we will not have to be concerned about when the critical time may come. Amen? So if God is always looking for a certain response and we give Him that response, then we don't have to wonder if it's critical or not, because it's just going to be what God wants in our life. If God can train us to give Him what He wants, we will have no problems in life. Amen? Yeah. Wow, what a powerful thought. If God can train us to give Him what He wants, right? Give us what He wants, we will have no problems in life. I remember Walter Buehler was one of my teachers, Bible teachers, ever. And he had this big desk, and he had this big chair, and he had this big sign over his desk behind him. And so the Bible school student pretty would come in, and they would sit down in this chair, and the chair's legs were cut off. And so the Bible school student could just sit there, and all he could see, if he's sitting there normally, he's actually looking up at that sign and said, "Yes, Lord." So he would have to lean forward in the chair to see Walter Buehler, because the chair was positioned like that. And so Walter would talk to the Bible school student, and then at times he would just reach up over his head and point at the sign. And so the Bible school student would ask a question, and the answer would be, you'd reach up, "Yes, Lord." That's what God wants to hear from us. When we have a question, or we have to make a decision, or He tells us what to do, you know, it's are you ready? It's yes.
Yes,
Lord. Okay, let's practice that. You ready?
Yes.
Lord. That's it. That's all He wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear belly aching. He doesn't want to hear excuses. He doesn't want to hear anything else. Right. When He tells us what to do, all He wants to hear is yes, Lord. And if we can't give Him yes, Lord, then He can't use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service. Amen? Amen. Our safety in this matter is to lay aside our will and to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Ananias and Sapphira made their most critical decision when they decided to align to the Holy Spirit and to God. Acts 5, 1 through 10. Wow, what a big mistake they made. And they paid with their lives. Ananias and Sapphira paid with their lives. Just how big is a little decision that we make? Wow. The world's advance has especially the specific place of the encampment of the children of Israel, Kadesh, are very, very critical. Kadesh means to consecrate, to cleanse, and to holy. These meanings play an important role in our choices. Okay? Now I'm going to get kind of deep here. Now, you open up your spirit. Open up your spirit and have the Holy Spirit speak with you, okay? This is really, really, it's going to get kind of deep here, okay? So a life which is consecrated to God, a heart which is daily cleansed from sin, a walk of holiness and purity before God, the desire to obey God at all costs, becomes the element in our life which will take us into God's direction and to His conclusions. Ooh. If you can pay attention to that, if your life will be filled with that, then you will be able to come into a place of righteous living. And righteous living is like where we just live right. We don't have to think to breathe. It becomes automatic, just like breathing. If we can go ahead and we can consecrate ourselves to God, we can cleanse our heart from sin. And that's usually a daily thing. I don't know about you, but that's a daily with me. And we can have a walk of holiness and purity before God and have a desire to obey God. If we can do that, then we'll be able to come into a life where we just live righteously. Mm-hmm. We won't have to think about it. Oh, did I sin? Did I not sin? That won't be the issue. The issue will be, do I have that relationship with the Lord? If I have that relationship with the Lord, then my life will be a life of righteous living. Wow. Mm-hmm. How can we choose wrong if we are consecrated to God? Mm-hmm. We can't. How can we choose wrong if our heart daily is cleansed? We can't. How can we choose wrong if we walk a holy life? We can't. And how can we choose wrong if we have a purity before God and He is our desire? Wow. It's impossible. We will always make the right choices. We will always be, yes, Lord. It was in Kadesh that Moses smote the rock instead of speaking to it. Numbers 29-13. Kadesh, this place of holiness, and that's what Kadesh kind of, you know, infers, the place of holiness, was to be for Israel a place of final separation from the flesh. Holy cow. The place of final separation from the flesh. As I said, the wilderness of Zin was the place where God told Moses, take the promised land. Go left. Get out of Zin and go left, and we want you to go into the promised land. And that is the place where we too can separate ourselves from our flesh. God brings us all to our Kadesh. He brings us all there for our final separation for the flesh. God desires that we have this holy, consecrated life with Him, a life of purity, you know, with Him, and so that we can separate ourselves from the flesh. Moses' choice to strike the rock cost him dearly. Moses' choice to strike the rock cost him dearly. And of course, we know that Moses never made it in his earthly life into the promised land. We know that he made it after he died, because he was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. And, you know, he made it then, but in his earthly life, he went to Mount Nebo, and on Mount Nebo, he died, he was buried by God. But his choice to strike the rock, little small frustration, struck the rock, cost him dearly, and he never had the opportunity to take the children of Israel into the promised land. He wandered for 40 years with them, and Joshua finally took them across the River Jordan. Mm-hmm. Amen. The finality of it seemed, and Marian died there and was buried. In the words of Zen, Marian died there, and that was Moses' sister. Well, who is Marian? She is the one who carried leprosy with her through the Red Sea. Marian grabbed her tambourine and she danced. The horse and the rider cast into the sea with a wonderful song of victory. People were dancing and yelling, but secretly in her heart, she carried the bitterness in her heart against her brother Moses, because he was married to an Ethiopian. And she was angry in her heart. But she danced and she, you know, covered that with, you know, all of this outward joy and stuff like this. But secretly in her heart, she was angry at her brother. Amen? Mm-hmm. That is, she carried her fault-finding and murmuring within herself only to be manifested later. There to be death to all, that sin shall not rule. Sin and flesh are not to have victory. Amen? Mm-hmm. And in Zin, the words of Zin is where Miriam died. Paul tells us in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over us. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. Sin is not supposed, we're not supposed to sin. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to sin. Wow. Sin shall not have dominion. When we sin, is there anybody here stands and they don't know it? Is there anybody that stands and don't, it's a surprise. Oh my God, I don't know about you, but every time I sin, I know it. Every time I sin, the Holy Spirit will tell me after the fact. And sometimes before, before I sin, the Holy Spirit will check and say, don't do that. Oh, he did it. But sin is not supposed to have dominion over us. Make no mistake, God will expose us for who we really are, and then we have to deal with our choices and our consequences. Amen? Make no mistake, God will expose us for who we are. And you can ask Miriam about that. God exposed her, and she spent 7 days outside the camp with leprosy because of that. And God, with His grace, and Moses interceded for her, and she was restored. Amen? Amen. God will expose us. Amen. And then we have to deal with our choices and our consequences. Mm-hmm. Some party thought, a life in God must be maintained through daily rededication. That's worth underlining and remembering. If you don't remember anything else tonight, that one thought there. A life in God must be maintained through daily rededication. God brought Moses and the people to a place of rededication or renewal, separation and consecration and cleansing. This was done at Kadesh. This was done at Kadesh. Amen. And our Kadesh. And we all have that Kadesh. Amen. On the basis of this renewal, they would go up to possess the promised land. If they failed in the time of renewal, they would fail in their choice, and they would fail in their forward spiritual progression, and they would fail to go up and possess the land. Failing to inherit that which God had called them to inherit. Remember, sweetheart, can you go to Revelation 21:7? So many people think, once you're a Christian, I'm a Christian and everything's wonderful, and I'm going to receive a harp and a crown, and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that, and I'm going to inherit this. Well, that's not true. Sweetheart, Revelation 21:7.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Amen. You inherit in God by overcoming. Only overcomers inherit things in God. Only overcomers. And if we are an overcomer, then we choose the right thing. We choose to walk in God's way. We choose this consecration and this purity, heart purity, and all of these things. And if we can overcome, then we will inherit the things that God has for us. So the opposite side of that truth is the same. If we are not overcomers, if we don't make the right choices, if we don't do the right things, then we will inherit nothing of God. We will inherit nothing of God. We too, on the basis of our renewal, we shall be victorious or we shall fail. If we do not have that daily renewal, that daily walk with the Lord, then we will fail. If there is to be any degree of success in God, there must be a constant renewing of our separation and consecration and our separation from the flesh and our consecration unto God. Just as the mercies of God are new every morning, so must our spirit, strength, inner man, and mind be constantly renewed. And that is a daily process. Let me say that again. Just as the mercies of God are new every morning, so must our spirit, our strength, our inward man, and mind be constantly renewed. Paul said, oh, that I may be strengthened with might in the inward man. And so there's a number of verses there that you can look at to check all that out. And if there is no daily renewal in our life, it is impossible to move forward in God. If there's no daily renewal in our life, it is impossible to move forward in God. Our talents and abilities cannot and will not carry us. They will not sustain us in Him. Amen?
Amen.
We must rededicate ourselves every day. There must be that continuous walk a renewal of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we pray you for your love, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord God, and we would ask that you would strengthen us with mighty and inward man. Help us, Father, Lord God. Lord God, strengthen us, Father, Lord God. Touch our heart and our minds, Father, Lord. Give us that desire that we would have, Father, Lord, that we would want to have that daily, you know, consecration, Father, Lord, that daily renewal with you, Father, so that we can move forward with you, Father. For, Lord, we know if we do not move forward with you, Father, Lord God, then we know that we're going back, Father, Lord God. We're regressing, Father, Lord. That's just the way that you have the plan, Father, Lord God. Either you go to heaven or you go to hell. Either you go forward or you go back. There's no middle ground, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. And Lord, just take this word and lay it in our hearts. And Lord, those around the world that will be looking to do this, Father, Lord God, just open this word up to them, Father, Lord, and let them see, Father, Lord, the glory, Father, Lord God. And we love you and we thank you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.